Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who has rendered incalculably important service in the course of that war, in my estimation, and that of many others, is our first guest. We are pleased to have him with us for a couple of segments, but he has been here frequently in the past to describe problems that are very much weighing on my mind, and I think on many of our listeners as well. He is Dr. James Mitchell. He is the author of a terrific book. I mean, really required reading if you're interested in this war for the free world. It's entitled Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. You've probably seen him or heard him in other media platforms. I trust that you are familiar with the work that he's done, actually helping to break and extract information from some of the most dangerous terrorists we have confronted since 9/11, including the mastermind of that terrible day, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Jim Mitchell, it is a delight to have you with us. Thank you for giving us so generously of your time to take stock of a number of things, including some of the recent developments in Europe and what they mean for us here. Thanks for joining us. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Let me start with those recent terrorist attacks in the United Kingdom. They, of course, inflicted considerable harm and trauma on the people of Britain. Would you give us a sense, as you see it now, Jim, as to the motivations of those involved? Are these, as we've been told, lone wolves who have somehow, well, I don't know, either inexplicably become radicalized or are, imbued with some sort of unnameable ideology? What's actually going on there?
Yeah, I wouldn't characterize what's happening in Britain or anywhere in the UK or anywhere else in the world the way that you did in those last two comments, because one of the things that we need to remember is that the terrorists have been doing a pretty good job, the Islamists have been doing a pretty good job of promoting this idea that the Muslim community is a worldwide community, and that in Islam, as some of your listeners will know, it is a sin for a Muslim, regardless of whether they are a violent jihadist or not, to support an infidel against another Muslim, even if the Muslim who is acting incorrectly or breaking the law or whatever is in the wrong. And if you are a true believer in Islam, then you do risk on the day of judgment going to hell for supporting an infidel. So that is a piece of it that we need to take into consideration. The other thing is I think that this stuff that we're seeing in Great Britain and we're seeing even here and in some other places like Germany and Belgium, this was predicted by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in the 2004-2005 timeline. He said we would see an increase in these attacks as like-minded jihadists spread around the world, you know, went into Western democracies, supported themselves on their welfare, spread their jihadi message, and then when the time was right, rise up and attack from within, either as individuals or most likely as part of another network, even if the network is relatively small. And one of the things that I had a chance to do when I was working with the CIA was talk to Abu Zubaydah about his recruitment and his radicalization, because he didn't start off a radicalized jihadist, working hand in hand with Al-Qaeda, although he never swore bayat to UBL. He started off as a relatively normal guy. He even lived in the United States for some period of time when he was a young man. And then he got radicalized later on. What became clear to me in talking to him was that the mere exposure to the Wahhabi religion when he was growing up made it easier for them to recruit him later in life. And the reason for that is there are two pieces of what I call malware, you know, brain malware, that are embedded in the current versions of the Quran and the Hadith that make them particularly susceptible to this. And one of those is that the Quran is the actual spoken word of Allah passed down unerringly from Allah to Gabriel to Muhammad to some terrorist sitting in a basement somewhere listening to a cleric, right? And the other piece of that malware is that it's unrestrained by historical context, that in the Quran and the Hadith and the religious writings, there is this notion that there was an open-ended commandment to spread Sharia to the whole world, to either convert, kill, enslave, or subjugate everyone. And so the task of recruiters is not to plant a bunch of bad ideas. The task, rather, is to simply convince them that the declaration of war on infidels has already been made by Allah.
Jim, there's so much there in what you've said that I want to just tease it out a little bit. And let me start with the idea of, you said at one point, Islamists, and then you talked about true believers in Islam. You talked about the Wahhabi religion, the malware, as you put it, which is a very intriguing concept here. The programming, in other words. How much, based on your extensive conversations with folks like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Abu Zubaydah, how much of this is baked in to Islam itself? I've used the term Sharia to try to capture this very political, military, legal program that is the malware, I would argue. But it's also considered to be the true faith, according to the authorities, as I understand it. What's your reading on all of that?
Well, my reading is, well, I'll quote Prime Minister May right after the London Bridge attack. She said, we need to do a better job of spreading British values, or she may have said Western values. Well, the people who attacked and who did the Manchester attacks and most of the other attacks, those people were born and grew up in Britain, in the United Kingdom. And if by the time they're 28 or 29, they haven't been exposed to Western values, then there's something terribly wrong with their Muslim community and terribly wrong with the way that the authorities go about spreading British values. And same thing holds true for us. You know, they have this enclave. Well, I'll tell you what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed told me. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed told me that our religious freedoms was a weapon that Allah had put in place so that we could easily be defeated. He said that jihadi-minded brothers could either immigrate to the United States or be radicalized in the United States and put in place the mechanism, the means by which to do radicalization without ever breaking any of our laws, put in place a network that when triggered later on could support Islamic terror attacks without ever breaking any of our laws. And in fact, that our sense of religious freedom and our desire to have the rest of the world like us, political correctness, could all serve as a cloaking device so that those things could be put in place and protected, hidden from sight. You know, I recently was listening to a Sam Harris podcast, and he was talking to a person named Susan Hader, who was a Muslim who has become an atheist. And she said that she thought it would be a good idea in the United States to have a place where Salafists, where jihadi-minded people who were interested in talking about how good it would be to kill the Jews and how we should overcome the world and all that stuff, would have a safe place where they could have these conversations without being surveilled. That's the attitude that produces this stuff.
There's an increasing degree of discussion of that. And I think by and large, that's what many of the mosques, not all of them in this country, but many of the mosques are right now, is safe places that are not subject to surveillance. It's a subject that I want to turn to with you when we come back. We have to pause for just a moment with Dr. James Mitchell, the author of Enhanced Interrogation: Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.